Today on Real Radio.
I just wanted to say that I am thankful to the Lord who, even though I was raised Catholic, he used my son as the tool who brought me to the Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, years ago, where I was actually fed the Word of God, and I have not looked back since, and daily I thank him for the tool that he used. It was awesome. Thank you. God bless you all.
I just want to say I'm thankful that our salvation is eternal with him. That's what I'm thankful for. So, yeah, we have eternal salvation. That's awesome.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, we step aside from our normal verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter through the Gospel of Luke and bring you a very special Thanksgiving presentation. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Today, listening, as I was driving, I had, I don't know what news station it was on, but maybe you saw or heard of this accident that took place today on I-95, just outside Washington, D.C., a gasoline truck was driving, a tanker truck, and the driver noticed that his back rear tire was it deflated and then it caught fire as the rim heated up. It exploded in the flames. He tried to pull over. But if you've ever driven in areas of a metropolitan area, there's some people that just don't care if your gasoline truck's on fire. And I got to tell you, having been back east several times, quite a few times actually, you guys, even in downtown L.A., we've got it good out here. You guys are much more courteous of a driver. I mean that. Back east, as I mentioned on Sunday, we were back there and doing some work, and we were taking a walk, and ambulance, fire trucks, nobody pulls over. Nobody gives those guys the right-of-way for nothing. It's very rude. Today, this guy was trying to get over. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw a gasoline truck on fire, I'd get out of there. But they wouldn't let the guy over. So finally, he made his way over to the side of the road, and he got out of his cab, and he ran into the woods because he knew that thing was going to blow. And it blew. Nobody was hurt. Everybody's fine. But they had the driver on the news tonight, and I was listening. And the guy goes, "What can you say?" And he said, "All I can say is I can't wait to get home to kiss my wife and my kids, because tomorrow's going to be the best Thanksgiving ever. I have my life." And you know what? Listen, yeah. The truth is, this guy, and how often is it that we have a brush with disaster that then we give thanks? Have you noticed with all the hurricanes, the people that have been affected by Katrina and everything that's gone on? You know, one of the first things that they'll tell you, their home is gone, their animals are gone, their city's gone. But they'll say things, you know what, we're thankful we have our lives. And we don't often think like that. We've got so much around us that to be thankful for, we don't often do that. But what happens is the things that we should be thankful for, they cloud our thinking, they cloud our expression of appreciation and thanks to God, and we wind up missing so much until the things are taken away. And then we give God thanks. Do you not realize that tonight God could, if he wanted to get some thanks from us, he could take everything away from us tonight. He could, you know. And then we would say, "Oh, I'm so thankful, you know, that I had this while I had it, or that while I had it. But look, we have our lives tonight." He could do that in a second if he wanted to, that we might express corporately our thanks to the Lord. And wouldn't we be a lot healthier people if we just thanked him all the time? We have so much to be thankful to him about. And I want to just share a few things tonight. And then I want to get out of the way. And there's a microphone there. And there's a microphone there. I'm going to tell you up front, be thinking what you might want to thank God about publicly tonight. And you know what? I know that you know, there's not a whole lot of people here tonight. A lot of people must be on the road or traveling, but there's enough to whereby if we do share tonight, be quick to the point, give God thanks, and be on so the next person can speak. But how encouraging it is that when you hear from others about what God is doing. The basis of this evening, and I want to ask you this question as I kind of give a little bit of a devotion right now to prepare our hearts. How many of you were born in a foreign country? Raise your hand. You were born in a... Raise your hand high, please. That's a lot of you. What kind of countries are represented here tonight by your birthplace? The Philippines. Where? Chile. Where else? Mexico. Hong Kong. Lebanon. Germany. A lot louder. Trinidad. Where else back here? Did somebody say Thailand or Poland? I said Thailand or Poland. I meant Poland. There's a big pole there, no. Beautiful country, by the way. Peru.
Nigeria.
That's right. My brother-in-law was born in Nigeria and the same day I was, but I'm a day younger than he is. Where? Colombia. I'm sorry. I can't. My contacts are acting up. I can't see you, Mercedes. Bolivia.
Indonesia.
Where at?
Taiwan.
El Salvador. This is amazing. Keep going. This is great. Where? What?
England.
I thought I'd understood English. I would have understood the English part better. Is there any more? Argentina, Canada. Vietnam. This is so fun. I had no idea. Wow. Did we miss any?
Romania.
That's so great. Listen. A lot of people make the mistake in thinking that Thanksgiving tomorrow is an ethnic holiday. You know it's not. It's not a white man's holiday. It's not an American Indian's holiday. It is a holiday for us who are Americans. These countries that we've heard, think about it. That's the most wonderful thing what God did regarding America, is that we all come from these various backgrounds of the world. And that's what makes an American. You know, you're not... American is a different person altogether. We can be from Taiwan or from Germany or whatever our background might be, but to give God thanks, of course, is a spiritual discipline, and we're to do that no matter what country we're from. But the amazing thing is, tomorrow celebrates people having come from a distant land or lands to worship God in freedom and in truth. Amen. And the beautiful thing about all this is that if you live in America, if you're an American, this should be a celebration that if we are not going to be, listen, if we are not going to be racial, if we are not going to be, bias or whatever, then we've got to give God thanks, give Him thanks on Thanksgiving, because it doesn't matter what color you are, from what country you are. It is a corporate celebration of worship of those who live in America, from whatever color, background, nation you've come from. I know someone here in this church that just this year became an American. And it's a neat thing to think, because, gee, I wasn't born here, so I can't celebrate Thanksgiving. You've missed it altogether. God is on His throne. He called people to come to America to enjoy freedom and to express their thanks and praise to Him. It's a wonderful thing. A few things to keep in mind tonight before we share. Let your thanks be heard. And I want to just touch on a few things, give you some scripture. Leviticus 22:29, God says this, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." The word in Hebrew is willingly, with a joyful heart, being mindful of thanks unto God. Be cheerful. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And usually, and of course the context of that verse is financial, but I'm not applying it that way tonight. Whatever you thank God for tonight, let it come from a cheerful heart. We are to present ourselves cheerful before the Lord. Matthew 15:36, God says there in his word that he, Jesus, took 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High God. And so it's a time tomorrow where families and friends will get together and celebrate around a table the bounty that God has provided for us. And we do this as a tradition. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a good discipline of ours to exercise, to be thankful what God started here. And a great experiment, as we'll hear in a moment. But it's a time to reflect on the thanksgiving that was offered up by William Bradford, the governor of Plymouth, when he made a proclamation, the first official day of Thanksgiving to take place in October of 1621. You know, we forget that America is as old as it is, in a sense, 1621. But I want to read you a few things. But what were they thankful for? 1 year after arriving, the pilgrims stood at about half of the original number that had arrived a year earlier. Not quite. 1 year earlier, they had arrived from arrived into New England from Holland. By the way, they went from England. They went from Europe to Holland before they came on over because of religious persecution. A lot of people don't realize that the pilgrims left England because of persecution and headed to Holland, where it was safe, and then headed off to what would be America. After 66 days of journey on the North Atlantic, during the first winter, 47 of the original 102 pilgrims lost their lives to starvation. Bradford wrote, quote, "If it were not for Squanto, the young Indian, the second winter might have claimed all of our lives," close quote. Earlier, Squanto had been taken captive by slave traders and was carted off to Spain, where he was purchased and then set free by his purchasers, by those who bought him, and taught the Christian faith in Spain. He made his way to England, learned the English language, and then returned back again to America. He was there to welcome the pilgrims at their first arrival. Squanto taught them how to plant corn, which, if you know the story, it's corn that saved the pilgrims, and to plant corn. And in New England's rocky soil, they learned, he shared them the special knowledge of the forest and of the rivers. And Governor Bradford said concerning Squanto that he had been sent by God to be our Joseph in time of need. Isn't that neat? We trace not only our Christian heritage to this brave band of pilgrims, but also our country's solid foundation of self-government. The Mayflower Compact was signed even before the pilgrims landed. It laid out the ideals of government by consent of the governed. Think about it. And made clear their purpose, quote, "Undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith," close quote. Boy, does this need to be taught in public schools today, huh? This is American history, my friend. Plymouth Rock is the place where those pilgrims first set foot on America's shores. The great French political scientist, and I can't pronounce his name, Alexis de Tocqueville? Wrote about this scene in the classic 1835 book he wrote, Democracy in America. He wrote as one of Europe's first to recognize the change that was taking place, he said, and I quote, "In the course of human events in America, religious freedom was the key to understanding democracy in America." Isn't that something? Listen to this. In 1609, approximately 300 colonists arrived in Jamestown. That winter, because their food supplies were exhausted, 80% of the people died from starvation and disease. 1620, 102, I mentioned that a moment ago, of those that came across on the Mayflower, over 40 of them died. 1621, the pilgrims dedicated 3 days for Thanksgiving to be a feast to give glory and thanks to God. 1689, during the next 74 years, four North American wars would rage between England and France. The final conflict, the French-Indian War, caused Britain to tighten its grip on the colonies, a major miscalculation that eventually led to the American Revolution. In 1776, America declared its independence from England, and it was a David and Goliath setting. And without historical precedents, America won its independence, the world's first colony to break away from a parent nation in history. The America you sit in tonight. It had been a miracle. Even George Washington said, and I quote, "It will not be believed that such a force as Great Britain, after 8 years of military employment, could be so baffled in their plans by men oftentimes starved, almost always sick, and certainly without pay, and experiencing every distress which the human nature is capable of enduring." Close quote. Yet soon after the war, 400 armed war veterans circled the makeshift congressional building demanding their unpaid wages be brought to them. And it went on to say that we were anything but a nation united. New Jersey instituted its own customs service against the other colonies. New York negotiated independently with foreign nations with its own treaty, anything but united. 9 of the 13 states maintained their own private sectors. 7 states printed their own currency, good only within their own borders. Many passed tariff laws against one another's states. Isn't that amazing? We were like 13 independent nations, much like Germany would be independent from France, even back then. Yet somehow these colonies and their people in a war-torn America became one nation, a nation ruled by the laws of democracy to safeguard the rights of its citizens. The right of worship, as one might please, and the right to speak boldly about the things of God. George Washington said it was a miracle. Isn't that fantastic? Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their own dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow." This is a president speaking. "Yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justify fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagine in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. He sounds like a preacher instead of a president, doesn't he? It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people, and do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart the observance of the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benefit Father who dwelleth in the heavens, Abraham Lincoln. Isn't that awesome? Man. It's beautiful because if you read what George Washington wrote in 1789 of the Thanksgiving Proclamation, which, listen, much often in history, Abraham Lincoln is given the credit of the decree I just read you a moment ago, but a lot of people don't realize that Abraham Lincoln, it was found, the original proclamation of George Washington. George Washington's proclamation was lost. It was later found in Washington, brought to Lincoln. Lincoln read it and said, I've got something to say, and reinstituted what George Washington had given God thanks for. Church, very quickly, listen up. We need to practice Thanksgiving tonight and from this time forevermore. We need to make it a discipline of our lives. Number one, listen, especially if there's some young people in here, you need to practice Thanksgiving because you know what? It will change the attitude of your heart. It will cause you to stop blaming people for what's wrong in this world and give thanks to God for what is right. People, when we begin to focus on all the things that are wrong, we will be thankful for nothing. Because there will always be something wrong. And when we begin to be a culture that says this is wrong and that is wrong, when we begin to be a people that just blames and complains, you will never succeed in anything. You will never be able to stand upon your own two feet. You will never be able to be a viable worker in this nation, let alone your own church. Because you'll grow up to be, or we will become a people that says something like this, what's in it for me? And how come I don't have? He's got it, why can't I have it? You'll be unthankful, unholy, and unforgiving. Because we will become a nation of entitlers. I want this, I deserve this, I deserve the other. I saw a sticker, we've all seen the sticker. I've got to go to work today. It says something like that. I have to go to work today because there are millions of people dependent upon me on welfare. I got to go to work. I got to pay my taxes. I got to pay into the system because there's a lot of people staying home today. And I have to pay for them to stay home. The German, if you saw on the news, the German economy currently is in an absolute shambles because they have a system that they can't afford now to have anymore. So many people go to work in Germany to pay those extreme high taxes. And if you're unemployed in Germany, the government puts you up. They'll give you 400 euros a month. And they'll give you a shower and food and a place to stay. Think about it. And now the nation's going broke because it can't keep such things going. When we begin to be a people that's unthankful, we begin to be a people that just sits still and puts our hands out. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And let's shout joyfully to him with psalms. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a special Thanksgiving weekend presentation. Which means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, and then on Monday, resume our normal verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter through the book of Luke. Meanwhile, we remind you to direct your thanks to the covenant God of Israel, who is the creator of all. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you a special and commemorative Thanksgiving.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.